Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to Optimize My Life, the Thursday edition. Give me one quick second, I'm having a little bit of a technical difficulty. All right, David, come on. Sorry about that. Just had a slight headset issue. On Thursdays, we get waiting for our host to arrive.
Who's your jet, Mary? Who's your jet?
All right, hang on.
David, go.
Come on. Go, Grandma. Thank you. What do you want?
Oh, I guess it's all right. Georgia.
Happy Thursday. How's it going? How is everyone feeling on this fine Thursday with your fine selves?
Mary, how you feeling, girl?
I'm doing better. I got my allergy meds working, so they came in the mail.
Shout out to the allergy meds. I'm excited for you.
Hey, these are all natural.
No, I know that. That's why I was excited for you, because I know it didn't have any tomfoolery in it.
That's right.
And speaking of tomfoolery, let's get right into today's show, the tomfoolery. I know last week we touched on a little bit about mindset and how to shift and how to come into this healthy being that you want to become. But first and foremost, you just have to acknowledge where you are in life, whatever that looks like, right? Acknowledge your good, your areas of improvement. I don't like to say bad. I like to say areas of improvement. And let's just kind of take an overall scan and see what can be better, what can pivot, and what needs to just go away. Now, in determining what you already have and all the good accolades that you have accumulated all of this time, everything that you are, take accountability and accountability into those things. Make a list. Write it down. Sit with that list. So for me, I would say just like taking my time to be with myself and slow down is one of the things that I want to accomplish in my overall mental capacity and well-being. The birds sound so beautiful, right, y'all? I love that. So just taking a moment to just hone in and be present. That is one thing that, you know, I had to pat myself on the back for not doing. So you go in and you write all of the great things that make you you, right? Maybe you're a good listener, you're a good friend, you're a good problem solver. You take action, you take direction very well. You can delegate very well. You can socially align things up, like all the things that make you wonderful. Take note to it. Write it down. Look at it. Once it becomes visual or visible, that's when the work starts to happen, you know, on the back end of your magic. That's part of your magic. So a lot of times we forget to even operate in that magic. The good book says write the vision and make it plain. So all the things that are of you, all the things that are the vision of you, write those things down, everything that makes you good. Once you assess that all the things, this is everything I have to offer, This is everything that is in me. This is everything I have worked for. This is everything that I truly embody. This is me. Like, this is me. And then we move on. Before I finish that, we move on to when you're creating that list, I think it was Steve Harvey that said write down 100 things. So we're going to 100 things each category. So write down 100 things that make you just phenomenal, just great, just unique, wonderfully made, all the things that are you. You take note. I guarantee by the time you get to 30, 40, 50, you think you're running out of things. So then that promotes you to go deeper within and really pull out the things that make you magical. The next thing is going to be those areas of improvement. I don't like to use words like bad or sad or just I'm terrible in those things, because when you speak those things, you are listening to you. Let me say that a little bit louder for the people in the back. You are listening to you. So while you're listening to you, you got to be mindful of the words that you speak in your spirit, the thoughts that you think. So amongst this area of improvement, near the top of that list should be self-talk, self-imagery, behaviors, how you treat yourself, how you react in tough times, how you react and show up for others versus how you react and show up for yourself. So we're going to take accountability. And again, with that list of 100, areas of improvement, time management, being a better listener, being a better receiver of information, working solely off of data and clear-cut things more so than emotion. How do you handle business? Do you work for somebody? Do you work for yourself? How do you carry yourself in that workspace versus how you carry yourself in other spaces? Take accountability to your areas of improvement. And I mean, this conversation is going to get deep. It's going to get dark. It's going to get ugly. Have that conversation with yourself and don't hold back. Truth is the key. Once you become truthful with yourself, it's so much easier to be truthful to everybody else. So what areas are needed to be improved in your life? Is it your health? Is it your finances? Is it your mental capacity? Is it your spirituality? Is it your parenting? Is it you're in a space in your life where you're outgrowing, so things are becoming uncomfortable? Because life will definitely make you uncomfortable, and two things are going to happen. You're going to barbecue or you're going to mildew. Which one you want, you know, which one you want to do? So now we get this list compiled about areas of improvement. So while we have all the good things that make us amazing, areas of improvement, now let's have some solutions. You're going to take both of these lists and put them side by side, and you're going to compare the list. Maybe you just comb it with a fine comb, and you just completely compare this list. And then in the middle of both of those lists, and you can draw lines to connect, you know, your positive attributes along with your areas of improvement, and then we have solutions in the middle. Those solutions should come in a point of realistic goals, smaller steps to get to the bigger picture, and then just having some grace and mercy for yourself. So what do solutions look like when we are in the things that make us great and the things we need to improve in? So
Can I interrupt you 1 second?
Yeah.
So when you're setting goals, can you give us some examples of realistic goals? Because a lot of people don't understand what that means and set what they think are realistic, but really
okay.
aren't.
So the question is, how do we explain realistic goals and how do we break down realistic goals? A realistic goal is something that you can achieve in 30 days or less. This is not somewhere on the internet. This is something that I've actually participated in and I have done for myself, and it really worked out. So when you are wanting to achieve a realistic goal and want to achieve it, the realism is this something that I can actually carry out? Now, let's talk about what that looks like just in broad. If you are a small business and your goal is to make $10,000 a month, that is a goal, and that is your big goal. That is your right now. Your bills may be $5,000 a month, so you want to double what you are putting out so that you can have a financial cushion. So your goal is to make $10,000 a month. Now, you break that $10,000 down into smaller goals. You can break it down into selling a $1,000 product 10 times. Or a $10 product 1,000 times. So once you get how you want to get to that number, you write down every single step it takes to get to that number. First, you find a product. Then you find your audience that you want to target. You find the areas where you know that if I set up this system that it's going to kick out. Okay, now I need to maybe set up a funnel, or now I need to go, you have a solution. So the thing about having a realistic goal is it is realistically able to get to 10,000 in a month if you set up the little realistic goals to get to that realistic goal. What does your daily routine look like? Having a realistic goal is like you tweak little things along the way, and the end goal would be this bigger picture that you've already saw. You know you've thought it out. You know that this is what you want. This is where we're going. So that little goal and that realistic obtainable goal is just making little steps that you know you're going to stick to. Okay, well, I know I want to make $10,000 a month. What does the work week look like to obtain those $10,000 a month? Is that 3 8-hour days? Is that 5 4-hour days? Or what does that look like? So whatever it looks like to you, and you know you're going to actually do the step and hold yourself accountable, these are realistic goals. If you are a person who is making under $10,000 and this is your goal, then that's not an unrealistic goal. But if you are a person who has bad spending habits, your credit cards are declined, you're behind on your bills, and you say, hey, I'm working on a way to make $100,000 a month. That goal is feasible, but not right now in this season. What season are you in? So being truthful with the what season are you in to obtain this goal, that is what is the bigger picture at hand. So you have to get everything in order. Success loves speed, but it also loves order. So in obtaining the realistic goal, it's a pattern. You know that you have to work 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. Each day you have a minimum goal that is set for you to achieve that $10,000 a month. So you know that I need to make $270-odd a day in order to achieve the $10,000 a month. What are some things you're going to implement to get there? Small, realistic goals. Okay, I know that I need to have a product. I know that I need to have it priced at said price. I know that I need to sell so many of this to obtain what I want to do for my goal. So the smaller realistic goals make up the big obtainable goal. I hope that answers your question, Mary.
Yes, it does. Now, Mary, I'm glad you asked too, Georgia, this country boy, because again, in the process, if you hadn't broke it down like that, Georgia, what happens in the process is one's worst enemy is oneself. When you set those realistic goals, what do I want and when do I want it by? But if you are not being real with yourself, what you're doing is setting yourself up for failure. I ran into a friend of mine, and my friend was interviewing her, and she said, about the same thing you're doing, but then he paused and said, is that really realistic? You want to go, make just that same scenario you had, Georgette, $10,000. If you're not making $2,000 a month now, $10,000 might be a realistic goal, but if you're going to say I'm going to make $100,000 this month and you ain't never done it before, then what you just did is lie to yourself and set yourself up for failure.
Right. And
I
want to set ourselves up for failure. We do not lie to ourselves. That's why that first thing we do is we be truthful and honest with ourselves. Honesty is brutal when you give it to yourself, but it's so necessary in development and success. I'm sorry, Mary, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, hey, this is Keisha. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Keisha, how are you? Welcome.
I am loving life. Everything is good. One of the things I had to do for myself, I like which is the direction you guys are going on. I had to do a daily goal for things that, you know, I was really struggling with. Like say, okay, if I can get up at 5 a.m. for the next week to pray. This is not a part of my goal, but this is just what I'm talking about. Or I'm just going to make sure I eat something green every day, and I'm going to check it off on my list. And when I get to that point, this will be the next part of my goal. Just doing minuscule goals on a daily basis, that sets you up for success. Instead of just trying to jump into automatically, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to save $100 every paycheck. You might can't do that.
For sure.
Right. And that's what we call micro goals, is the little daily goals we set for ourselves to achieve our macro goals, which is our 30-day, 60-day, 90-day, 6-month goals.
So I want to repeat that again because I'm also, live in person. So the three types of goals that you want to set for yourself is a micro goal. What else you said, Mary?
A micro goal is your 30-day or your a daily goal, I'm sorry, your short-term goals. And then your macro goal.
Is a micro. Macro goal is for
your long-term goals.
Your 30-day, your long-term goals. Okay, got you. So to answer, also to feedback off the caller, when you say you make those are micro goals, to say I'm going to eat something green today and I'm going to get up by a certain time. That's what I mean, getting your body in a rhythm, in a cadence to get on track to what you want. Everything you want, it wants you. You just got to become in a flow and become the energy of it. So by you rising up at 5 a.m. with the mindset, this is what has to happen today. You think it's not going to come to you because you put yourself in that time and you gave yourself that energy to even process. The reason why I like waking up at between 4 and 5 in the morning is because my brain is still in the reticular activated system. I like to read during this time because I can receive information at a higher frequency than what I would do if I was not in that particular area in my brain. So I implemented cold showers. When I hit people with the cold showers, they like, you take a cold shower, absolutely. But it's not about the cold shower anymore. It's what am I telling myself in that cold shower? Now, everything I do is something that emulates life. Life is a lot like a cold shower. It comes unexpectedly. It's cold as shit. It makes you feel some kind of way because you're uncomfortable. You shiver. You shake. You tell yourself, why are you even doing this? You need to get out of here. It's cold. Your body is like, we don't like this. This is cold. But that's your fight or flight, and that's also how life works. So when life begins to be a cold shower, something has to click in your mind. I'm doing this for the betterment of me. By me doing this, I am going to get a different outcome than what I've been doing, because this is a different income that I'm putting into something. You focus on the outcome, and then comes the income. So the income will be an easier day. The income will be everything that I thought about while I was in that cold shower. It has came up in a conversation of things. It's like it was an experiment done. Like, if I put this out there marketing wise, and I put the bluebird out there, and you see the bluebird here, and you see the bluebird there, and you see the bluebird here, and you see the bluebird there. By the time you get to a red bird, you still seeing a bluebird, because that's what you've been conditioned to see. So when your body is in those conditioned ways, and it's like, hey, I don't want to be here. I don't want to take this shower. You have to gain control over that and say, well, listen, if I take this cold shower, then I'm boosting my immune system. If I take this cold shower, the body goes through the shivering process, and I am rebuilding and regenerating my cells. My organs are able to work properly because they went through this strenuous moment, and they persevered through, and now the back end, we feel really good. We feel rejuvenated. We feel refreshed. We are ready for the day. We have hyped ourselves up in this cold shower, so maybe that's words of affirmation. Maybe that's positive self-talk. Maybe that's positive self-imagery. Maybe you looked in the mirror at yourself. And one important thing, I want to give this to everyone who's listening. Mirror time is important, okay? Go hang out with you in the mirror. Whoever is looking back at you, you must be so deeply in love with them that nothing can shake you, move you, break you, or any of those things, because you adore the person that looks back at you. Self-love is so important in just attaining goals, just being in life, and just being able to take life as it comes. What do you look in the mirror? If you look in the mirror and you see yourself as weak and defeated, and you're tired and you're weary and you're worn out, then that's what you're going to get, because it's a reflection. You're looking at it. But if you look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm at a point right now that this is where I am. I may not want to be here. I don't like being here. Be real with yourself. I don't like it here. There are more things that I can do, and there are better things that I can do. I'm just right here because this is a season for me to be right here, but this is not it. And then you give yourself positive talk. I am smart. I'm strong. I'm brave. I'm a conqueror. I'm doing things that are for me that I can do to be better every day. I'm a better wife. I'm a better listener. I'm a better mother. I'm a better friend. I'm a better daughter. I'm a better sister. I am just better. And you begin to talk to yourself. And you know what? Your cells are listening. And they begin to perk up, and they begin to be a little bit happier. And then later on through the day, another one of those micro goals, the lady said she consumes something green every day. Well, sure, you think that's not going to make you feel better to ingest live enzymes? Like, whoa, it's going to be great. It's going to be amazing, and you're going to feel amazing, and you're going to boost the brain function. Then you're going to be able to think clearly and put out other micro goals to obtain the major goal. And, young lady, I hope that answers your question.
Georgia, that was good while you was talking. Crazy or not, when I woke up at 8:15 this morning and I just clicked on my phone to YouTube, it had the song that I was playing before I went to bed last night, and it was Mary J. Blige, Good Morning Beautiful. And then the crazy part, that before I went to bed last night, when I was in the studio, one of the last songs that I listened to was Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror. And my cliff note this morning, three things you said, Georgette, is
okay. Brief intermission music.
And here's the crazy part of all that, country.
Waking me.
You were up at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Me, shaking me. Waking me, making me, shaking me to be all that I can be. I like that, Georgette. And I don't like cold showers. To me, that's like kryptonite, but I tried one this morning and she was cold. And what did they say? It's a wake your butt up. Wake up, country. Wake up. Like, okay.
Wake up. That's your wake up. Listen, that cold shower doesn't have to be immediately. You can take your regular hot shower and 20, 30 seconds at the end of your shower, turn the water to cold. See if you can stand it. Talk about can you stand the rain. It's cold. So maybe you can or maybe you can't. But, yeah. So now we get in our mindset for those obtainable, realistic goals. Now you got your good list, the things that make you amazing. You got your areas of improvement. You made your list in the middle of smaller, obtainable goals, realistic goals to get there. You tweak your eating habits. You tweak your sleep pattern. Maybe you don't participate in certain conversations with people anymore. Maybe you turn off the TV for 30 days. Maybe you find a new book that you want to indulge in and just really dive in this book and study it and learn a new something, because learning never stops. And especially if you're wanting to advance and be a better person, you have to be willing to unlearn all the tomfoolery that was instilled in you as a kid. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. Those things no longer serve me. I have my own way, my own path, and I am on it. So the unlearning process, very difficult, very painful, very time-consuming. It's just very, tough to literally grow through. But guess what? You are a seed. You had to be planted, and you had to lay dormant. You had to be in the dark. I tell people all the time, we are children of the light, but we were all created in the dark. You can take that in whatever context you want to take that in, but you are definitely a byproduct of a seed that had to go in the ground, that had to get dirty. You had to have some tears to water it. You get where I'm going? You had to have some heat. Life will put some heat on you, some sunlight, for you to have some sense of urgency about the things you want to achieve and obtain, because you put that out there. Now, the universe has its way for you, straight up. There's a path. The universe already said, hey, G, I'm giving you these clues. I'm giving you these tips. I'm giving you these tricks to navigate. As life happens, so does distractions. So we need to get in the habit of distinguishing distractions from the actual path and the goals that we are trying to obtain. Distractions come in every person, place, or thing, mother, child, significant other, friend, foe. It will happen, but your gift of discernment. So it brings me back to when we are going to these goals, and we want to obtain them, and we're getting the little goals to maintain the big goals. Now it's like, okay, I'm here. You got to do the work. That seed, it was planted. It did its work. It covered you up. It made you dirty. The sunlight, it did its work. It heated up. The rain and the atmosphere, it did its work. It provided water, nutrients, other mechanisms, other animals to make sure that this seed was going to grow. And the only thing you have to do, this is the toughest thing to do, but it's the most easiest thing to do, is reach for the light. Think about a plant. When it breaks through and it stretches up, it's reaching for the light. It's reaching for the sun. It's reaching for fresh air. You just got to surrender and just reach up and get your light. Get your life and get your light. So you reach up and you break through that soil. Yeah, you're a little dirty because you just came from the earth. You just came out of the darkness. You lie dormant. So when you break through that soil aka in life, have your breakthrough, meaning for 30 days you went to bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock. For 30 days you rose up at 5:30. For 30 days you did some type of exercise, physical workout, 20, 30 minutes a day. That every day you took 5 minutes to just sit with yourself and sit in gratitude. How many of y'all know that the magic in making anything happen is simply having gratitude? Even in your deepest, darkest moment, you still have to possess gratitude. Gratitude is that sprinkle on top of life that lets the universe know, I'm almost there, but I ain't with you, and I'm trying to figure it out, but whatever I'm figuring out, I'm right here, right now, and I am grateful. I am graciously grateful for this season, for this moment in my life, and I will not always be here. So I humbly thank you, universe, God, whatever power that you, ancestors, Buddha, Yahweh, Jesus, all the people, you sit with your higher being and you sit in gratitude and you feel what that feels like. In yoga, we say we connect with the breath. It's the first thing at life and the last thing at death. You better connect with it. You better sit with it and honor it because it's so easy to be gone. It's precious. And when you sit with that breath, you're sitting with God. So just having those little things every single day. So you did for 30 days. You meditated for 30 days. You read a self-improvement book for 30 days. You turned off the TV for 30 days. Instead of you reacting and ready to fight and nucking if you bucking, you took a moment and stepped back and said, let me receive this information. Let me process this information. Let me see what this entails. And woo, the universe will say, all right, guys. All right. He got it. Country put in the work. They all put in the work. They did the hard thing. They showed up for themselves. They said no when they meant no. They said yes when it was a yes. They took some time out. They self-cared. They loved on themselves. They went for a walk and was just in nature and just was present. And then the universe said, oh, okay, they're ready. They're ready for me to respond. Because it's like is it Yoruba or is African language? They say, I go, I may. So it's like a call and response type situation. So if you, I go, the universe will say, I may. So you go and you do it, and the universe may give it to you. And it becomes this never-ending cycle of you doing the work so that the universe can do the work. Success, love, urgency. Hold on, it's a lot of feedback I couldn't hear. Success, love, urgency. Success, love, order. Success, love, patience. Success, love, the things that you desire, but you have to put in the work in order for the universe. Again, remember, the universe has already laid that path out. When you get distracted, you veer off to the right, and then it gets bumpy, and then it gets hard, and it gets cold, and it gets rainy. But if you had stayed on that course, there were things along that course to help you through it. But maybe you had to go around because that distraction happened, but life will still steer you back in the way, even in distraction, to put you back on. You just got to be open and receptive to things that life has for you. I know that becoming healthy is one of those things that people struggle with, or becoming – here's the number one thing people ask me all the time. Will the juice help me lose weight? I want to lose weight. Well, if you tell me you want to lose weight, I hear you, but I'm not really listening to you, because what you're telling me is that the appearance, I want to change it, because that's what I heard. But when I give you the antidote to how you change this, and that starts with positive self-talk. Every single day you eat something green. We make this juice, and it's for you. This is no carbs, no sugar, no dairy, no byproducts for 30 days. or it's a, I know you want to lose this weight, but if you give me 30 days and do these things for 30 days and stick to it, consistency is the tool that we're going to use to get to those goals. Consistency. If you're not consistent, you're not going to get what you want. So on those days, let's go back to our micro goals. On those days, we said, I'm going to go to bed by 8. I'm going to be finished. I'm going to do the laundry and have all the things done by this time. If you don't allow yourself time to finish those goals and do those things, the universe is not going to respond because you don't even believe in yourself. You don't even believe in your magic or your ability to put forth what you need to do to accomplish these micro goals that you said. So in losing weight, we talked about it last week, we get our mind right. But it's not about the weight. It's about how you treat yourself and what you put in your body and how do you exert that energy. So then we create the plan and we stick to the plan. The byproduct of the plan, weight is gone. But we're not focusing on the weight. We're focusing on better self-talk, better food choices, better sleep habits, better workout, better exercise, better movement, better days that we get up. Do we want to get up every single day? Y'all think I really want to get up every single day at 4:15? At 4:44, because that's what my 4:15 alarm clock goes off, and I meditate. And if I just lay there or sometimes fall back asleep, my 4:44 gets up. And when I see 4:44, I think of things lining up and being in control and being a conqueror. And I get excited about the day. Your attitude determines your day. Your attitude determines whether you complete those goals. Your attitude towards a healthier lifestyle determines how the weight comes off. Because everything you've done up until this point is a byproduct of the lifestyle you were living. So once you say, this is the byproduct of the lifestyle, these are the things I have been doing, I no longer want to operate on this plane, I'm going to do something about it, you just held yourself accountable. Well, what are you going to do about it? Self, well, all right, next week, and this does not have to be a long drawn out. We'll work our way to 30 days. Sometimes 30 days scare people. Let's take care of today because tomorrow has its own troubles. So today I'm not going to eat any meat. Today I'm going to consume 32 ounces of water, and I'm going to consume 16 ounces of juice. I'm going to eat a salad, and when I feel the need to have something else, I'm going to choose a better snack. See, that was just for today. It's a lot, but it becomes easier after you do it day 2, day 3, day 4. Day 5, here's when distractions are coming, day 6, because you would say, man, I've been eating good for 6 days straight. My digestive system is starting to feel a little differently. That bloating I was experiencing has subsided. You know, I feel pretty good. And then the friends invite you out, and it's a birthday, and they got a chocolate truffle cake, and this just happened to be your favorite. Oh, my goodness, what do I do? What do I do? All right, girl. And then that's when your higher self and lower vibrational self, they have a conversation. All right, girl, 6 days, you have eaten salad. You have went to the gym. You have gotten up. You meditated. You drank your water, girl. You're doing so good. This one piece of cake is not going to hurt you. This one piece of cake ain't going to hurt you. You can do it. You can do it. That's more vibration than you. Because you can eat this and we're going to go to the gym tomorrow, right? high vibration is like, hey, you know, we got a goal. We have set this goal out. It's been 6 days. We haven't had any processed sugar. I know this is your cake. I know this you probably can eat the whole cake, and you know it's going to be good. But if you do this, this is going to push us back to 6 days ago. Because we often get held hostage by our taste buds. And, man, they will take over, and a craving will attack, and you will revert back. It seems like just a piece of cake today. If you eat that piece of cake today, and you don't feel too bad about it because you're going to go to the gym, but the next day you overslept for the gym because your body was processing all this processed sugar, and it didn't know what to do. It was so much of it, it was overload. The only thing your body knew to get rid of it was for you to stay asleep so it can continue through the filtration process to eliminate the bullshit out of what you just ate. So now we done pushed ourselves back. So now we messed up. One piece of cake, but it's a big step back. So then you have another talk with that cake. You know what? This cake, it's not all that good. It's good to me right now, but I'm on a mission. I have a goal. And my reward goal in 30 days is I'll eat a piece of cake. You may not can have it today, but that doesn't mean you can't have it forever. So then we win that battle. We say, you know what, no thank you for the cake. I'll take some grapes. Ooh, your body cheering. Okay, she didn't give us the crack that we wanted because, you know, we were just going to store it. You know, she's been working us out. Our abs hurt, our glutes hurt, our calves hurt, everything hurt. That cake was going to make us feel. Feel, that's a key word right there, feel. You got to control your emotions. When you set some goals, you got to control your emotions. Take your emotions out of it. We are nothing but logic right now. The logic goal is to obtain a healthier body. It is for me to not have anything that is not on this plan that I've put myself on. Nothing can stop me from this. Nothing's going to deter me from this. A distraction came. Watch this, because you were so level-headed. And you've been eating your fruit and vegetables, and you've been minding your business, you've been drinking your water, you've been working out. You was able to see that distraction, and you pivoted, and you stayed on your course. So staying on your course, you know what happened? 6 more days rolled in. Now you've been working out for 12 days. Oh, my pants fit a little differently. Can't tell me nothing. Wait a minute. I think I see an ab coming in. Uh-oh. All right, we're gonna drink. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Can I interrupt one quick second? The best question to ask yourself to get the emotional part out of it and have the logical part is, a lot of times we'll ask why something happened or how something happened. If you use the what question, that is the logical sense instead of the emotional.
So use
your
who, what, when, and why when you
just
the
use the what. Yep, just
use
the
what
question.
Okay.
What is
Mary
the logical
says,
aspect?
The what is the logical aspect behind all this? What?
What caused it
That's
to happen?
That's beautiful. What caused this to happen? What should I be doing? What shouldn't I be doing? What could I do in this moment? What could I not do? I like that. I'm always the if kind of girl. If I do that, then this is what's going to happen. If I do this, then that's going to happen. I like to look at it from the if standpoint, but I like the what. Ask yourself what. We got to get T-shirts that say what, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
They just going to say what.
That's what I teach for regulation techniques, because when you ask why, you know, your kid had why they had the meltdown, that's the emotional aspect of things. So like my son now, when he has his, you know, issues, he'll go, what happened? So that's the scientific or the logical approach to what caused the issue to happen. And he's looking for reasons to know why it happened so that he can prepare for the next time. your why and how are all emotional questions, and that gets the emotional aspect of your brain going. The what question is your logical part of your brain.
Okay. So now we figure out that what, and now we got in our mindset that the rest of this time has gone by. We're seeing a little bit of change in our body. After we see that change, we start to fall in love with the change. By day 14, if you have consistently worked out, you fall in love with sweat. Because those hormones that you are hovering and harboring, you're releasing them. Your brain's going through reuptake. It's dispersing dopamine. It's just feeling good because this is what you've conditioned yourself. So in 14 days, you could definitely change your mind on anything. 14 days, they say to create a habit, I think it's 21 days. For 14 days of doing anything consistently, you will be so freaking proud of yourself. You will have no other thing in you other than to keep going. So then when another distraction comes up and we made it to 14 days, we've been drinking our water, working out, taking notes. We done picked up new things like journaling, going for a nature walk. We see a person in distress. Maybe we offer some words of comfort. Now, instead of us being all grumpy all day because we was backed up full of poo, we done redirected our digestive system. We're now eliminating on a regular basis. So now we speak to people. We're not even irritated. Good morning. How are you doing? Have a great day. That's infectious energy that you pass on from one place to another simply because you changed and you tweaked a little bit of something. And you made a little bit of progress every single day. You knocked out those micro goals every single day. And now you're at a point where you're like, you know what? I can do this. I'm doing this. And then you wash, rinse, and repeat. Maybe you got a bigger goal to obtain. Maybe you have bigger attributes that you're trying to conquer. Maybe you say, you know what? This time, it's no longer a diet. This time, it's no longer I'm doing stuff out of a scarcity mindset. This time, I'm doing it because I want to. I want things that want me. I'm committed. I'm focused. I'm ready. And when I tell you the universe will open up doors and windows and escape holes and people and places and things that, listen, for everybody who's under the sound of my voice, I'm living, breathing proof that all these things work because I did the work. I don't take any of this lightly as far as even when it comes to this radio show and Mary and Country opening up their arms to me saying, hey, you're valuable. You're important. Now, I know these things for myself, but for other people to see your worth and say, hey, we think we can do this for you because we're blessed to be a blessing. We are helped to be helpful. We see something in you, and we're going to take a chance on you. And all the things have just been working out. So my last thing for today is just be in gratitude and do that work. Do the physical work, do the mental work, do the spiritual work, do the paperwork, do the self work, do the mirror work, do the workout. Man, do the work. And be grateful and gracious while you're in that work.
You know, you didn't have an easy life. You weren't given everything for you. You want to talk a little bit about that so they understand a place of where you're coming from when you talk about, you know, you've done the work for them to understand where the work came from?
Absolutely. When I say I did the work, I say that from 4 years old, I've had to do the work. At 4 years old, I lost my mom to domestic violence. At 4 years old, I was separated from my mother due to another person, another being acting on their emotions. So when I wanted to have emotion, I didn't even quite understand emotion at the time. My emotional well-being was being with my father. My mom's older sister operated in her emotions, and what she did was what was best for my sister's children, operating off her emotions. And before she got custody of me and my sister, or my sister and I, we went through foster care. More emotional things happened during that time. So now we're like, okay, I've had to do that work. I've had to be in the work where I'm in a place where I don't know people, so I do the work and I do my homework, so my work here at this shelter, and I do my chores and I do my work and I sit with myself. Then upon being adopted, I do the work there. I adjust to a new living setting, adjust to city life to country life. I had to do the work there. I had to do the work on my mindset. And growing up, co-parenting between an aunt and a dad, that wasn't always easy because both of them operated on their emotions that they had for me. Again, I had to do the work. As time go on and such, I became a people pleaser because in my work, I wanted to just make everything easier for everybody because we've already had enough hard things. So if I become easier in things and making everybody else's life easier and helping where I help and not causing mischief and being a good student and being a good daughter and being a good niece and just try to be the best of everything I can be, everything is easier. Became the world's best people pleaser. Where did that get me? That got me in college in a major that I did not want to be in. I was doing it because it made my aunt happy. When I began to actually speak up for myself and love myself, I was about 19. I flunked out of Middle Georgia College in the occupational therapy program. I was working at JCPenney's, I think, or Goodies or something like that. And I was like, you know what? Nope, I lied to y'all. That was my first job. JCPenney's and Goodies was my first two jobs. I was working at Hibbett Sports. And my manager said that there was a store in Atlanta that they were going to open, and they were looking for people to go to Atlanta. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to apply for this job, and I'm going to transfer to Atlanta. I told my dad, hey, I got a job there. Can I come live with you? He's like, girl, come on. As he still says those same words today. Shout out to my daddy. Hey, G-Man, love you, mean it. And I worked at Hibbett Sports, and I got a second job at Applebee's. Now, this is around the time I have became pescatarian in my teens, but I still love bacon because it's bacon. It's its own food group. And my dad, he goes out, my adopted dad, shout out to Papa Junior. He goes out and he kills wild hogs, so we eat that. So, again, I had to do the work with myself. So when I started loving myself at 19, not to say I didn't love myself before, but now I was becoming myself. I was becoming who I wanted to be, who I looked in the mirror, and I liked who looked back at me. So I worked the work. And I, even though I flunked out of school, I enrolled in Atlanta Metropolitan College. It was a two-year college at the time. And I've always wanted to do radio. Always knew I was going to do radio. I don't know how, when, what, why, but I'm going to be on the radio. My personality is phenomenal. I've worked at it for years. I love that I have a superpower that I make you feel how I want you to feel, and that's always uplifted, magical, important, and love. And so I went to Atlanta Metropolitan College and got a two-year degree in mass communication. Then I transferred to Georgia State. I took my two-year degree and I enrolled in Georgia State, and I got into their theater program. Now, when I went to college the first time for occupational therapy, I was in a production company. I was a part of a production company called Armani Entertainment. And we provided entertainment for entertainers. So we were their background dancers, their background singers, maybe their showgirls or show guys. So, you know, I was a part of something that I knew I wanted to do because I was in the choir all through middle school and high school, the show choir. So my dreams were crushed when my mom said, this is what you're doing, because I just knew I was going to move to New York and I was going to sing on Broadway. So I go to Georgia State, and not only do I get a bachelor's of science, but that minor was in theater. I also did a bachelor's of communication, a minor in speech. I did what I wanted to do for me. So when I graduated at 24 years old from Georgia State, that was the proudest time of my life because I did that strictly, solely for me. I had did the work. I wrote the papers. I studied the plays. I put myself on campus day in and day out. I went and volunteered in it. I did the work. Now, here's the tricky part about life. You can do the work, and the work can start 5 days ago or 5 years ago. You can do the work, and it can be immediate goal or it can be a long-term goal. You determine. And as much as those distractions come, however much you get distracted, it'll deter you from what is for you. But you'll never miss what's for you because what's for you won't miss you because it's for you. You can take the detours, the highways, the byways, the tunnels, the underground railroads, but where you're trying to go, the universe will get you there because it's already laid out for you because God said just as much as it is in heaven, you can have it on earth. But you got to listen and be obedient, and you got to write the vision down, and you got to make it plain, and you got to take these small steps to get to this big thing. So all of those things I've grown through because y'all know I'm a plant. So I grow through things. I don't go through anything. I go through doors, and I keep them open for people to come through them, i.e. my autism family, always making a way for them, heavy on the advocacy. But I put in that work. And when I put in that work landed me at a gym in the West End. I still put in more work, and I was myself, and I showed up for myself, whether somebody was in that yoga class or not. And now that yoga class is packed. And then I run into country. And we had, I think our first conversation was about an hour and a half long in the parking lot of that gym. And then he says, I want you to meet my friend Mary. And then I meet Mary, and I think we had about a two-hour conversation. And then yep. Now you get to hear me and be myself and advocate and motivate and uplift and educate and learn and grow and understand and overstand with you right here. I'm a byproduct of the work. So do the work.
I'm not hearing you. I'm feeling you. They say faith comes from hearing, but love comes from feeling. So as you're speaking to us this morning, I had closed my eyes a couple times, even though I had just gotten out of a cold shower. And you was taking us on your journey as you was explaining how you work through it. If you work your plan, it will work for you. I was right there, Georgette. That was powerful stuff, young lady. Thank you again for just coming forth and sharing with us. You belong on the airways. Back to you, Mary.
Thank you.
And not
Thank
only
you. I appreciate it.
Will you hear her on the radio, coming up in April, you'll start to see her on our YouTube channel, and she'll be launching her own shows there, too. And coming up this summer, we will have our own network. We are now the media network instead of just a radio show. And you'll get to see her and hear her on Roku and Apple.
I love this and I love y'all. I appreciate everything. I don't take any of it for granted.
I hear Diana Ross singing in the background. I'm coming out. I want the world to know.
I can let it show. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll call you both later. I got some exciting news, an opportunity for you, for us all. You're going to love this.
I love that. And, man, this is your juice dealing dope dealer. Y'all go out and be your amazing selves on purpose. Keep being great on purpose. Keep making those micro goals. Keep crushing those goals every day. I believe in you. You are smart, strong, powerful, beautiful, handsome, and so brave. The world is better simply because you exist. Peace out.
Awesome.
Join
stuff.
Us back here tomorrow at noon for family time, but also join us back here next Thursday at 10 Eastern to hear her again.
Thank y'all. Peace, y'all. Go be great on purpose.
One love.